the next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
Hello, this is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration, my guide to using a Mac in a Windows world. Welcome to Fenestration number 8. I apologise for the lack of a segment last week. I was away visiting my brother in Holland, and therefore wasn't able to put the segment together. The Netherlands is an interesting place in its own right, and I enjoyed spending some time there. But it wasn't just all tourism and family. I spent a fair amount of time discussing Apple matters with my brother, who is also a Macintosh fan. Now, my brother works for a large corporate entity based in the Netherlands. This is a company with quite a lot of staff, and even in the head office there in the Netherlands, there's quite a few people who work there. Despite this, my brother is known as the Apple guy. This reputation arose in part from his habit of carrying an Apple PowerBook with him when he goes away on corporate business, as well as carrying his standard Windows laptop as issued by the company. It was reinforced by the fact that one day he was seen cycling to work with a PowerMac G4 strapped to the back of his bicycle. Bicycle travel in the Netherlands is a very big thing. They don't tend to use cars so much as we do. Obviously, Apple equipment does tend to stand out, wherever it happens to be, even if it's strapped to the back of a bicycle. So what's actually happened to my brother is, within this large company, as I say, he's known as the Apple guy, and whenever pieces of Apple equipment turn up, when they've been bought specifically to do a piece of work on a project, for instance, and this project finishes, people tend to pass it over to him. As a result, he has an office that's full of quite a lot of expensive Apple equipment that's come through the company. The reason that I'm sharing this is because I feel it reinforces one of the points of which I do this segment of podcast. In a world where 95% of all the computers run Windows, Apple users do tend to be seen as slightly different and maybe sometimes not well understood by other users. Look at my brother's example. Apple equipment within his company is funneled over to him because it's assumed he's the only person who might be able to actually make any decent use of it. People don't have the time or don't have the inclination to often sit down with Apple equipment and actually try and figure it out for themselves, unless they've decided it's something they want to do. This was reinforced to me by a conversation I overheard in the Apple store here in Manchester just yesterday. There was a gentleman who'd just bought a Mac Mini, and when asked by the Apple store employee if he'd used Macs before, he nervously laughed and said, no, I'm just starting out. He did seem very nervous and quite embarrassed about the whole thing. The point I'm trying to make is this. We have a fantastic and thriving community that revolves around Apple's products and services, and that's a very good thing. MyMac.com is just one small part of that very large, very vibrant, and very active community. Windows users don't often really have something like that. Only the really enthusiastic ones do, who have a particular interest. For everyone else, PCs and Windows are just something that you use to get the job done. And you put up with the foibles and the spyware and all the other issues just because that's what you have to do. The fact that Apple products and services creates an environment where people feel a need to form a community can create a slight aura of mystique around the whole thing, which I suppose can intimidate some people. Now, my approach to dealing with this has always been quite open and straightforward about my use of Apple equipment, particularly as I work in an environment where I'm the only person with an Apple computer and everyone else has a Dell Windows machine. Some of my clients often ask me why I'm using an Apple when everyone else has the different computers. And the way I answer them is just say, well, it's my personal preference, it's what I use at home, I feel it has some advantages, and this is what I think they are. I'd be interested to hear from other listeners who work in a similar manner, being the Apple guy in their organisation, or in their group and circle of friends. Please feel free to get in touch using the email address you'll find at the end of the segment, if you'd like to share your experiences. And if there are any listeners who aren't actual Apple users and don't have an Apple guy in their business or circle of friends, and they need one, there might be equipment that needs to be passed on to an Apple guy, then please get in touch. I'd be perfectly happy to courier any problem like that completely off your hands and into mine. That's going to do it for this session. As always, questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
not sure if this is mini podcast number 8 or 9 because we got a little bit out of whack with the mini podcast review segments being included on our Thursday podcast. And here's a suggestion for Tim. Why don't we refer to them simply as the Thursday podcast and the mini podcast? Anyway, the Thursday podcast is definitely not the main podcast. We know the mini podcast, which comes out late on Sunday night for Monday reading worldwide, that is the main podcast. Okay, I'm glad we've got that straight. Normally, when we review products here at MyMac.com, including Nemo's reviews you can use that won't make you snooze on the MyMac mini podcast, we are expected to have the products for quite a while so that we can do a comprehensive test under evaluative conditions with real-life optimized, pretzelized, victimized, and popularized challenges to the equipment, whatever it happens to be. Such was not the case tonight. Matter of fact, I just returned a couple of minutes ago from our local Apple store, which is called La Encantada Apple Store in Tucson, Arizona. A very nice mall-size Apple retail store in sunny Tucson, Arizona, except it was nighttime. The reason I went to the store is because I needed to test two products for which I do not own computers to test them. Aha! The first was from our old friends at case-mate.net, that's case-mate.net. And the products are called, let's see what they're called, the Signature Sleeve. Let's get a description of the Signature Sleeve. The limited edition sleeve is the ultimate way to protect your laptop. Aha! Rich Italian pebble stone leather surrounds an impact-resistant plastic shell. Well, what I learned about this is the case is really, really snug. The shell is solid, but also flexible, and the leather is beautiful. As a matter of fact, my limited edition is stamped with number 18 of 1500. It comes in, let's see, what are the colors called? Phantom Black and Alpine White. I'll tell you something, the black MacBook, which is the case that I have, the black MacBook in this black sleeve looks really, really sharp. The white MacBook in the black sleeve looks somewhat unusual, and the white MacBook, either the white or the black MacBook in the white sleeve looks totally bizarre. I would say get the black sleeve regardless of whichever MacBook you have. And there is also a 15-inch sleeve, and I didn't get a chance to test that, but if it's anything like the Signature Sleeve that I'm using for the MacBook made by case-mate.net, it really, really fits tight, and so it protects it, but there's no way to grab onto it unless you have some special accessory handle. You're just holding it for protection. It's not the ultimate protection because part of the laptop is exposed, so you need to use the custom handle from Casemate, and that's called the Handle It, and David Weeks has reviewed that on our website. It costs $100, so how do we rate this thing? Well, it does exactly what it's expected to do, which is to provide protection from any exterior flaws, or that's not the right word, protection from damage. But it's not full protection, but it's very, very well made. I would say it squeaks in at a 4 out of 5 only because of the high quality and the very snug fit. But, you know, $99 is a serious chunk of change for a sleeve that does not totally encase your MacBook. The other product that I had to go to the Apple store to do an actual real-life review is the 5-in-1 Express Card from Mac Ally. And let's see how much this thing costs. It costs $50 and its official name is the 5-in-1 Express Card Media Reader. It works for Mac and Windows, and I want to get this right. It supports a memory stick up to 128 megs, a memory stick pro up to 2 gigabytes, a secure digital SD card up to 2 gigs, an MMC, a multimedia card up to 512, an XD picture card up to 1 gigabyte. I have no idea why there's different capacities for different cards, but it's quite simple to operate. The new MacBook Pro has a Express card slot over on the left side when you're facing the computer screen, and you just quite simply carefully insert the business end into the computer, and then what's left out is an area that's called power access, and you put your card from your camera or whatever device you recorded your data or images or music onto into it, and it just shows up, I mean, virtually instantaneously, and then you can either load your pictures into iPhoto or where you can get your data and personal stuff into the computer using this. It's quite nifty. Its official name is PCM-E51, and I did have a problem because it's metal and plastic. This is tricky to describe, but the metal part of the case actually was not firmly snapped on to the plastic guts of the Express card. So I had to really lean on it and snap it into place before I could insert it into the MacBook Pro. But once I had it correctly assembled, it worked beautifully, and I really like this thing. So just make sure yours is very, very snug as far as the way the metal is affixed over the plastic part of the Express card reader. And Nemo's MyMac.com reviews you can use that won't make you snooze. Well, I would say we give this a 4.5 out of 5 because it does exactly what you want it to do, but we do need to figure out why there's different dimensions for the different cards. If anybody knows that, would you kindly send me an email to nosnooze@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the MyMac.com mini podcast, whether it's number 8 or number 9. Congratulations to Guy Searle on 50 stellar editions of the Dashboard Minute. Hopefully soon he'll be starting out with his new feature, Not Mac News, version 2.0. Thanks a lot, everybody. Talk to you soon. Signing off until next week.
Hi, this is Tony Stidler Denison from the Roadhouse Podcast, the finest blues you've never heard, and you're listening to the MyMac.com podcast with Tim Robertson.
Thanks for downloading My Mac Mini Podcast number 8. I'm Tim Robertson, the owner and publisher of MyMac.com, and for those subscribing, you usually hear me on the main podcast, and I gotta agree with John Nemirovsky. There isn't a main podcast. He's right, there are two podcasts, and they should get equal billing, but I don't know how to refer to them other than the Monday and Thursday podcast. But I kind of gotta agree with John. You know, to call the other one the main podcast isn't necessarily demeaning, but it does seem to diminish the importance of this podcast, and nothing could be further from the truth. This podcast is sponsored by smalldog.com and innotech.com. I got to throw those out there because those are the two places that help pay the bills. And if your company is looking to advertise on the podcast, simply send an email to tim@mymac.com, and we'd love to pimp your product here. Let's talk about what's coming up this next week. Obviously, Chad Perry and I will be recording My Mac podcast number 99 that will come out on Thursday. We actually record it on Wednesday night. And then on Saturday, September 23rd, we will be at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Apple Store. That's at the Woodland Mall. That's September 23rd from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I really hope some of you guys can come out and visit with us, say hi. We'll be making a stop at the Grand Rapids Brewery Company afterwards at probably around 4:15, 4:30. Thereabouts. We do have some room set up, so if a lot of you show up at that, the meet and greet afterwards, that would be awesome. It would be really cool. So it's less than a week away. You know, it's funny because Guy Searle asked, he called on the phone a couple days ago, and he said, so what's the plan for the podcast at the Apple Store? And I went, good question. In other words, I don't really have a set plan that we're going to do. About the closest I came to having any kind of plan was to get all the goodies to give away, to talk about the latest Apple news, to check out all the latest Apple products that's, I'm sure, is going to be at the store, to talk to the people that are there, get their story about why they're in the store, why they're Mac users, if they're PC users, talk to them. I'm really interested in talking to some PC users. And hopefully get some of you, the listeners, on the show, talk to you right there. And if all goes well, we'll record some at the brewery afterwards at the meet and greet. I think it's going to be a fun time. I'm still not sure quite how we're going to record the show, whether I bring our current recording equipment and just record it on the MacBook Pro, or I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out together, right? That's the thing about this podcast. It's kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants, learn-as-you-go type of an experiment, and it seems to be going pretty good so far, at least by the number of people who download the show. Other than that, let's talk a little bit what's going on up at MyMac.com. We've got a lot of content right now. In fact, after I get in recording this and start to upload it to the servers, I have to edit and publish Donnie Yankolo's latest article. Let me see, what is it? It would be Macspiration number 52, and something about Ethernet. I'm not even sure yet myself. You know, the thing is, MyMac.com, we get a lot of hits and all that good stuff, but when it comes right down to it, I'm pretty much the only one that's editing and posting featured content. We got a lot of writers, and it all gets filtered through me, and it takes time to, you know, edit, turn it into HTML, acquire the graphics if the writers didn't send it. A lot of times I have to create the little logo pictures that go on the main site that you can click to get to the article, all that stuff. And that takes a lot of time. As such, it sometimes takes time away from family stuff, and that's not a good thing, but it's a necessary evil. So my wife and I tonight were talking about taking it a vacation, and I'd like to solicit your opinions and your ideas. If you could think of a really good and affordable, say under $2,000, vacation destination for two adults, say, I don't really care when, but it'd be about a week in length total or less, maybe 5 days, let me know. Send me some email at tim@mymac.com. You know, it's my wife and I really have yet to go on a real vacation together, just the two of us, no kids, just her and I. Not that we didn't want to or we don't want to, it's just, you know, when we got married, we both had kids already. And you just can't pick up and go somewhere when you have kids. So when the kids got to the point where we could comfortably leave them with relatives for an entire week, boom, we have another kid. And now that child is 3 years old, and my wife and I really need a vacation. So I know there's a lot of you out there that go on vacations quite a bit and are probably much more knowledgeable about it than I am. So any suggestions is more than welcome. We're not rich by any means, but we're pretty much up for trying something new and different. Yeah, it'd be great to go down to the Caribbean or Hawaii or something like that, but maybe you guys have some better ideas. I'm not looking for tech ideas, obviously. This would be a vacation where I would leave the computer at home, including the iPod. That would stay at home, too. It'd just be the two of us. So if you've got any ideas, please let me know, and I would very much appreciate it, and probably I wouldn't appreciate it as much as my wife will. And so there's that. Boy, there's just so much stuff going on up at MyMac.com and with the 100 podcast coming up. Already got a really cool blog review of buying cheap airline tickets. That's an ebook. Go up to the website and check that out. Bill Palmer is posting a pretty cool and funny blog post. It's called New Yellow iPod Nano. For some reason, the color on this TV messed up and he took a picture of it. It looks like there's a yellow iPod, and the blue iPod actually looks green on the screen. I thought that was humorous. Roger Bourne has a working on the Mac in the late 1980s. I kind of created a little greatest hits of the 80s album art. I stole it on some website and put Mac pictures instead of Rockstar pictures on there, and that was fun to do. Kibble and Bytes is a newsletter that's sent out to subscribers to smalldog.com's website. And it's always got some great tips and ideas. And of course, they're selling items, but beyond that, they always have some really great stuff. Right now, they're talking about in Kibble and Bytes number 483, dissecting iTunes 7. They talk about the new iPods, some iTunes tips, backing up your iPhoto library, and a whole lot more. And just go up to mymac.com and read Kibble and Bytes number 483. Obviously, we hope that you click some of the links in there and maybe even buy something. But if you don't, at least go up there and read it, because you're going to get good information. Lastly, I want to talk about what you guys do to clean your flat panel displays. Now, I know there's a lot of you guys out there that are still using CRTs, and all I can say about that is save your dimes and your nickels and your quarters or whatever currency you use in your country, and eventually buy a flat panel display. It's so much easier on the eyes. The resolution's always better. There's no comparison. There really isn't. I'm on my second 23-inch monitor at the moment. It's a 23-inch cinema display, which I'm kind of jealous, you know, now that the iMacs come with a 24-inch display. Ugh, I'm kind of jealous about that. And to the right of it, I've got a Samsung 19-inch flat panel display. And it's not a mirror display. Let's say I'm working in Photoshop. I can put all my palettes on that second display. I also have like my PS2, my GameCube, and the Xbox hooked up to the Mac, and those play on the second display as well. But what do you do to clean your flat panel monitor? Right now, I've got this thing. It's called the Clean Doctor. I think I got it at Target. I'm not sure. It was $7.50. And it's just called a screen cleaner. And it wipes away dust and dirt. And it comes with this little bottle of spray that you actually spray on the cleaner itself. And the cleaner itself is kind of, well, it's a handle. And it has like a very soft chamois at the end. And you spray the detergent or whatever this, I'm not even sure what this is, on the brush itself. And then you brush your screen. And it works really well. I've never had a problem. It's never damaged any monitor that I've ever had. I've been using these for a couple years now, and it seems to work. It's from Digital Innovations. Let's see. It says, great for cleaning all automotive screens. Safe microfilter cleaning wad. Nothing like a cleaning wad, huh? And includes cleaning spray storage. You take the little bottle and you slide it into the handle of this thing, and then I have to use it for, I get maybe 20 uses out of it, and then the little microfiber cleaning wad part of it is just nasty, and I just throw it away and buy another one. And it doesn't say anything about flat panel displays on this one. Well, I guess, yeah, it does. It says, wipes away dust and dirt. Wipes away dust and dirt from all automotive screens, including stereo, DVD, game, and LCD screens. But the last time I bought this, it was marketed towards flat panel computer displays, but it's exactly the same thing. It's funny they can have the same product and market it in different parts of different stores and charge more if it's, you know, if they put on here, cleans your iPod screen, they could probably charge, you know, $9.99 and people would buy it, not realizing that it's the same thing that's over in the automotive department. That's just good marketing, folks. But that's what I use, and it seems to do a pretty decent job. But I'm curious on what you do to clean your screens. Do you have a better solution than what I'm using? And if so, send me a link to it, and I'd be happy to buy a few things out there that I find and report back here on the podcast and what really works good for me and what you guys suggested. Better yet, I'd appreciate if you could send audio feedback. All you have to do is pick up a telephone and dial 1-801-938-5559 and verbally let me know what you use and how you clean your screen. Do you wipe it from the left to the right, from, you know, up and down or down to up, or, you know, how do you do it? What do you do to clean your screen? And we'll eventually get into cleaning your Mac and your iPods and That's all stuff for a future podcast. But this time right around, let's look at cleaning your flat panel display. That could be an IMAX screen. It could be a cinema display screen. You name it. What do you do to clean that screen? Well, that's the podcast this Monday. We hope that you send some audio feedback, or if you want to send email, send it to tim@mymac.com. We really hope to see a whole bunch of you at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Apple Store, 3 p.m., this coming Saturday, Woodland Mall. We will have a meet and greet afterwards. Really looking forward to meeting some of you guys and gals. And thanks for downloading the show. See you later. That might help if I have GarageBand here towards the front of my screen and able to click pause to stop recording. And you know what I did? I brought it forward and I accidentally clicked on the orange button and it minimized it, and so then I have to bring it back up and I'm still talking. Yeah. Nothing like being an expert computer user. Can't even bring a screen forward there, Tim.